The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I would just like to shout out everybody who's been listening to me for this entire year so far. But also, I did notice my numbers over the holiday weekend. It looked like I had some binge listeners binging a bunch of episodes. So shout out to y'all. If you're a new listener, well, welcome and thank you for listening. I would say reach out to me and let me know what you think, but unfortunately for you, I could give zero fucks about anybody's opinion, so don't bother voicing them to me. All right, so let's get into week 12 of the NFL, which was just, oh man, another roller coaster weekend for the NFL. It's just one of the great things about football is that it's just ever changing, and every single week something new is going on. It's also just crazy, too, because it just goes to show how much it matters if you have even just a halfway decent quarterback leading your team, especially if you have a leader as your quarterback. I mean, that's always a positive. And just because, I mean, this weekend it showed. But, I mean, it's been quarterbacks have been up and down, and just the quarterback carousel has just been spinning from free agency all the way till now. It seems like every single week we have a new guy starting, we have a new guy getting injured, we have a new guy getting benched, we have a new guy getting called out. So it was yet another crazy weekend in the NFL, and let's get started with a very weird game, but I guess that's what you can expect from both of these teams, I guess. So let's get started with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Cleveland Browns. This game ended up going into overtime, which was very shocking to me because I did not expect this to be a close game whatsoever. But it's just becoming more and more apparent that the Buccaneers are just not a very good team. I mean, offensively, they're very stagnant. They have their moments, but then they have their lulls. And then on the defensive side, it's the same thing, but they just get beat really bad sometimes in coverage, and then it's really difficult for them to stop the run. They used to be a very hard-headed, grindstone-type defense. They were just a really tough defense, and now they're looking pretty soft. And I mean, really, other than Tom Brady, they pretty much don't have much going on for them. And it showed yesterday because the Browns, not a very good team either. This was Jacoby Brissett's last game as the starter for the Cleveland Browns, at least for now, because Deshaun Watson will be starting next week. He'll be coming off of his suspension from, you know, dangling dicks on people who didn't want it. But they just played a really good game defensively. They just rolled through Nick Chubb like they always should. Nick Chubb had 26 carries, 116 yards, and a touchdown. But like I said, man, this was actually really the Browns probably dominated this game for the majority of it. It was kind of close in the first half. And then the Browns kind of started to run away with it once the fourth quarter hit. And then in overtime, it unfortunately looked like we were going to have a tie. But then the Browns were able to put together a really solid drive. The Buccaneers left Amari Cooper just wide ass open. He was able to catch a huge pass, get them in field goal range, and then the Browns would go on to win 23-17. I'm sorry, they didn't get in field goal range. It was actually Nick Chubb who ran that overtime touchdown in. But that was all set up by this big wide open Amari Cooper pass. Tom Brady didn't have a terrible day. He went 29 for 43, 246 yards, two touchdowns. Chris Godwin had a good day as well, 12 receptions, 110 yards, and one touchdown. It's just the Buccaneers just don't look good at all. They do not look like a championship-level team. Chances are they're going to make the playoffs just because their division is so awful. I mean, really, do you really think the Falcons, the Panthers, who's there? Or the Saints. That's how bad they are. Is I just forgot who's in their division. But I don't really see any one of those three teams being able to win the division over the Bucks. But shit, man. The Bucks are just not a good team. And once they hit the playoffs, they're going to be one and done if they don't see some type of improvement here. But I don't know where. In week 12, usually improvement doesn't happen. You pretty much are what you are by week 12. And while the playoffs are still up for grabs and, you know, you can have magic little winning streaks here and there, I don't really see the Bucks hitting their stride anytime soon. All right, moving on to the Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans. This was a very good game. It was back and forth from start to finish. I mean, going into halftime, it was tied at 10. And then it just was basically just, you know, Joe Burrow, it's just crazy how good this guy is getting. And the Bengals are actually kind of looking similar to how they finished the end of last season on their Super Bowl run, where they are now on a 4-game winning streak. They did beat the Titans in Tennessee 20-16. And it was a battle all the way through, but the Bengals were just able to get the better of the Titans. And I mean, really, the Titans didn't have a bad game. It was really just the Bengals were just able to put it together offensively, and the Titans just made some really dumb mental mistakes, especially in the fourth quarter with some stupid penalties. But really, overall, I mean, the Bengals just look really good. I mean, P. Ryan, he made some big plays. He had 17 carries, 58 yards, and a touchdown. Then also T. Higgins, who's just really stepped up since Jamar Chase's injury. He had 7 receptions, 114 yards, and a touchdown. And he really made the game-winning touchdown, basically. So the Bengals looking really solid right now at 7-4. Titans, tough loss, but, I mean, they're still 7-4, and they're also in a shitty-ass division, so they should easily move on to the playoffs. Then the Houston Texans at the Miami Dolphins went as expected. The Dolphins absolutely stomped the Texans 30-15. Yeah, by the way, those 30 points were scored in the first half by the Dolphins. So yeah, the Texans really weren't trying too hard yesterday. Tua Tagovailoa went 22 for 36, 299 yards and a touchdown. Jeff Wilson Jr. had a touchdown as well, and Tyreek Hill had 85 yards, and it was really just a straight-up domination by the Dolphins. The Texans just looked like the Texans, so who knows if we're going to see them get another win at all this season. I don't think they really want another win since they probably are looking to get that first pick in the draft next year, as they always seem to be doing every year, which is pretty sad, but hey, I'm not a Texans fan, so sucks for you. Then the Chicago Bears were at the New York Jets, which was a very surprising game. The Jets dominated the Bears 31-10. Now, Justin Fields did not play at all due to that shoulder injury. And then Mike White took over as the starting quarterback. And we'll just say that dude, I'm pretty sure he's going to be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season. I don't know if Zach Wilson's lost his job for the future, speaking on next year. But if Mike White continues to play the way he did yesterday, and if he happens to get the Jets into the playoffs, I don't see how they can sit this guy, especially with the day he had yesterday. He went 22 for 28, 315 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And his receiver of choice was Wilson, 5 receptions, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And it was just a crazy day. You could really actually see the spark that he provided, not just on the offensive side of the ball, but you could just tell defensively they were ready to go, and that the Jets team as a whole really rallied around Mike White. So I expect to see him definitely starting the next couple of games. And unless he has just an absolutely atrocious game, I'm pretty much expecting this dude to start for the rest of the season. And with that being said, I mean, that's good for them because they do have potential of making the playoffs. And if they want to make the playoffs, I would just keep Mike White in because he provided a huge spark. Whereas Zach Wilson, we don't know what we're going to get from that dude at this point. And he's probably definitely lost some confidence now being benched. And it doesn't really feel like the team is rallying around him anyways. So I just say you keep riding with Mike White and see where that takes you. Then the Atlanta Falcons were at the Washington Commanders. This was a back-and-forth game also. But the Commanders were able to just get the better of the Falcons at the end. It was really just a Marcus Mariota last drive interception that really fucked things up for the Falcons. Otherwise, they actually had a really good solid drive going where it looked like they were set up in the red zone. But unfortunately, Mariota, he ended up throwing it, got tipped in the air, and then, of course, it was intercepted. And basically, that's how the Commanders ended up winning. I mean, they didn't really blow them out of the water. It was 19-13 Commanders win. But, I mean, it was really a really close game and a huge battle between two pretty shitty teams. But it was really just that Marcus Mariota interception at the end that really cost the team. As far as the Commanders go, it was just a really okay game from them. Brian Robinson Jr., he actually had a very solid game, 18 carries, 105 yards. Other than that, though, they were pretty quiet. And while they are a team playing for a potential playoff spot, even if they make the playoffs, I don't really think the Commanders are a good team at all. Then another just awful showing here from the Denver Broncos at the Carolina Panthers. Panthers played pretty well. They won 23-10, but this was just another awful showing from the Denver Broncos offense. As a matter of fact, one of the defenders on the Denver Broncos at one point, now he was frustrated because a penalty was called on him, but he walked right up to Russell Wilson for some reason and just like started yelling at him. Obviously, we don't know what he was yelling about. Russell Wilson said it was just something like, come on, man, we need to fucking play or something like that, which would make sense. But it was just kind of funny that happened. And it's just really it's just really how the Broncos season has gone. And it just gets worse for them because now they lose to the Panthers, who are not a very good team, but they actually play with heart and they look like a much better team than how they started. Sam Darnold, he came back from his injury. He went 11 for 19, 164 yards and a touchdown. So he didn't blow anybody out of the water, but hey, that's a solid day. Deontay Foreman had a solid day as well at the running back position for Carolina, 24 carries, 113 yards. And then DJ Moore at wide receiver, 4 receptions, 103 yards and a touchdown. So Panthers, while they have no shot at the playoffs more than likely, unless like a huge collapse from the Buccaneers and the rest of their division and they magically get in. But if I'm them, I want a high draft pick next year. It's nice to see that they're still playing with heart, but you want a high draft pick for next year. The Panthers are obviously playing for next year. But hey, good win from them, bad win for the Broncos, and that season just keeps getting worse for the Broncos. Then another weird game, Baltimore Ravens at the Jacksonville Jaguars. This was a shockingly back-and-forth game. I did not expect to see this. It was a very the Ravens have been so anemic on the offensive side of the ball. It's just insane to watch. I guess it's not really surprising to me because, as I've mentioned before, I feel like they did nothing to get Lamar Jackson any weapons. He obviously needs some weapons, and it's been showing, especially these last couple of games. They're lucky if they can even score. And the turnovers have become an issue as well. And then their defense. Their defense is just letting them down every single second half of the game. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's coaching. But every game, it feels like the Ravens blow the lead in the second half. And then here we are. And the Jaguars actually ended up getting the win 28-27. On a gutsy calls as well. I mean, this was a really solid. I would call this probably Trevor Lawrence's, I mean, he had a pretty solid game earlier in the season, but this was probably his best game he's ever had of his NFL career so far, just because, you know, they had to stay in the game the whole way. But also at the end of the game, the Jaguars went for the jugular. And this is when, for once, going for the two-point conversion wasn't stupid because they were going with the flow of the game. And you could tell that they basically had the Ravens by the balls, and they just really wanted to slit their throats right there at the end, and that's exactly what they did because they scored the touchdown, and they could have just tied it with an extra point, but instead they went for the two-point conversion and converted on it and ended up walking away with the win. Now, the Ravens did end up getting in kind of field goal range for Justin Tucker. He is probably the best kicker in the league. He's got an excellent leg, but it was a 67-yard field goal. It looked like it was well on its way to being good, but then it just fell about probably like 4 yards, maybe 3 yards short. So not too short, if anybody could do what Tucker can, but he did not get the job done yesterday. And Trevor Lawrence, he went 29 for 37, 321 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he just kept throwing the ball over to Zay Jones yesterday. He had 145 yards receiving. And then Marvin Jones Jr. was basically who helped not only grab the game-winning touchdown, but he also converted the two-point conversion as well. So it was just a big day for Trevor Lawrence. It was a big day for the Jaguars. I kind of feel like this is a turning point for them as a team. I feel like this is a game that shows that they have what it takes. Now, when I say that this is a building block for them and the turning point for them, I don't mean for this season. I'm meaning for the future. So it might fuel them for a little run here towards the end. And hey, maybe they'll get a wild card spot or maybe even win their division, because their division is not a solid lock. I mean, the Jags are 4-7, so it's more than likely the Titans have this division locked up. But who knows what's going to happen here. But I kind of feel like this type of game is more to build off of for next year, and just to show that this is what they have, that Trevor Lawrence actually is a legit quarterback. But then it's funny because this is the exact opposite for the Ravens. I kind of feel like right now week 12 is not when you want to have a game like that. especially when the Ravens are a far superior team to the Jaguars. I mean, the Ravens are 7-4, Jaguars are 4-7. I mean, that just says it all right there. Ravens, legit playoff contender, whereas the Jaguars may luck out and be a wild card contender. But both teams are headed in the opposite direction after this one. I kind of feel like the Ravens better watch out, because the Bengals are on fire right now and they could actually lose grasp of that division lead here. And especially when you lose games like this. So not a good game for the Ravens. Great game, though, for the Jaguars. Then the Los Angeles Chargers were at the Arizona Cardinals. This was another great game. It was back and forth the entire way. Kyler Murray did come back this week. But he apparently did not stop the bleeding from his vagina, because they did lose 25-24. This was another game where the Chargers went for the jugular with a two-point conversion on their game-winning touchdown. They drove it down the field, scored the touchdown, could have gone for the field goal, but they also felt the flow of the game, converted on the two-point conversion, got the win 25-24. But of course, what I'm meaning with Kyler Murray is that after the game, he was during his press conference, he basically blamed the scheming and basically blamed the coaching staff for the issue, of course, because, you know, Kyler Murray never takes responsibility for anything, and he's always just bleeding from his fucking vagina. Dude is like the biggest twat in the NFL. I mean, if you were to look up the definition of twat in the dictionary right now, you will see a picture of Kyler Murray, because that is all he is. Whereas Justin Herbert is a bad motherfucker and had one hell of a day yesterday. He went 35 for 47, 274 yards and 3 touchdowns. He just was on fire. He just could not be stopped. And the Chargers looked really good, and they really needed a win like this. Whereas the Cardinals are in the complete opposite direction. And you could tell, but even on the field, Kyler Murray is just not in sync really with anybody on his team. They just keep getting into fights with each other, and it's just ridiculous to see what you're seeing from the Cardinals, but it's also hilarious at the same exact time. But Chargers walk away with a big win, 25-24. Then what I would call definitely by far the game of the day, Las Vegas Raiders at the Seattle Seahawks. Talk about back and forth. That was this game. Holy shit, went into overtime, and I mean, it was so crazy, because it was just back and forth every quarter. And it was just like, who's going to stop who? And then of course the Raiders were able to drive down the field in the fourth quarter, score a touchdown, tie everything up, go into overtime. Both teams get a possession, fail on each possession. And then it's just like looking like what's going to happen here. Raiders get the ball, run a couple of plays, And then they do what I feel like they've always needed to do, and that is hand the ball off to Josh Jacobs. In overtime, Josh Jacobs runs for a 66-yard game-winning walk-off overtime touchdown. Just an amazing run by him, but that just capped off an amazing day just for Jacobs overall. 33 carries, 229 yards, and two touchdowns, but that 229 yards only counts as rushing yards. He also had more in receiving yards as well, and his overall total yesterday of yards was about 303 yards. So dude was on fire yesterday. I always feel like the Raiders, if they just get Josh Jacobs involved, then they should win the game because he's just a very solid running back, and he just provides such a spark and a different. He's just very shifty and very difficult to catch, but he's also fast as hell. So he just had a great game, and just that type of walk-off win, it doesn't usually happen, and it was awesome to see, especially because it was in Seattle, which is a difficult place to play. I mean, Geno Smith was on 27 for 37, 328 yards and two touchdowns, so he had a great day. Just overall, man, it was just back and forth, and it was whoever had the ball last was the winner, and that ended up being the Raiders. They really needed that win because basically every game this season has been like this for the Raiders, and they've been on the opposite side of things for the majority of the time, and so to see them win like that probably felt really good for them, even though they're probably not going to make the playoffs, but still a big win for them. And that means two losses in a row for Seattle, who are slowly losing grip of that NFC West, which I thought they would because the 49ers looking damn good right now. Then the Los Angeles Rams were at the Kansas City Chiefs. No Matthew Stafford, so this went exactly as expected. Kansas City just rolled over the Rams 26-10. Patrick Mahomes went 27 for 42, 320 yards and a touchdown. Travis Kelce had four receptions, 57 yards, and yet another touchdown. And then Pacheco, man, he's starting to get hotter each and every game. He had 22 carries, 69 yards and a touchdown. And the Chiefs walked off with another huge win, 26-10. Rams looked horrible. Now, granted, like I said, no Matthew Stafford, no Cooper Kupp, but this team is just terrible. They're not even really good defensively. They used to be the best defense in the league, and now, shit, they can't even get at the quarterback. So, yeah, another big game for the Chiefs. And also, I would like to point out, I'd say the last, three, four games that the Chiefs have played, Patrick Mahomes has started to get running again. That's another element that the Chiefs have added to their already insane offensive playbook. So defenses need to start watching out for that because Mahomes, you know, he's always been shifty and he's always had the ability to run, but he kind of stepped away from it, especially a couple years ago when he dislocated his kneecap. The Chiefs kind of, you know, started to reel him in and not let him run around as much. But I could tell this year he's been running a lot and he's been getting a lot of yardage and a lot, not just first downs, but like big first downs where he's getting like 20, 25 yards plus on each run. So it looks like Mahomes is adding that element back into his game and defenses really need to watch out because the Chiefs are rolling. They're 9-2 right now on the season. So and the rest of their schedule is actually pretty easy. So it's actually going to be shocking to see if the Chiefs are even able to lose another game in the rest of the regular season. Then the New Orleans Saints were at the San Francisco 49ers. This was just a defensive battle through and through. Niners got the win 13-0. Offensively, Niners didn't look that great either, but that doesn't matter. Their defense is just killing it. As a matter of fact, their defense has not allowed a second half point at all. Nobody has scored on them in the second half in the last four games. So they are just really holding it down. And that's what you need to do. So the second half is, if you win the second half, chances are you win that game. And defensively, they held it down. They had quite a few turnovers yesterday, some big turnovers too. They even had Alvin Kamara looked like he was about to score a touchdown, and boom, knocked the ball out, fumbled right near the goal line, and the Niners were able to pick it up and just get the ball back. And that's just really what their defense did all day yesterday. So they're making even really solid players like Kamara. I mean, Kamara is one of the best running backs in the league. He's not usually known for fumbling, especially near the goal line, and they made him look like a chump yesterday, but I mean, very solid day from Garoppolo, 26 for 37, 222 yards and a touchdown. But it was all about that Niners defense, that's for damn sure. Then the Sunday night football game, the Green Bay Packers at the Philadelphia Eagles. I'd say the Eagles dominated this game for the most part. It actually was a close game in the first half. But the Eagles just started to run away with it in the second half, literally run away with it. I mean, on the ground last night, I mean, Jalen Hurts, while I would lean towards Mahomes as the MVP, Jalen Hurts is like right there. If you're like grading it on a point scale, he's like half a point behind Mahomes, in my opinion. I mean, last night he went 16 for 28, 153 yards and two touchdowns. That's passing. But then on the ground, 17 carries and 157 yards. The dude was trucking it last night. And the Eagles did end up getting the win 40 to 33. Unfortunately for the Packers, Aaron Rodgers already has a broken thumb right now on his throwing hand, which obviously has been a problem for him. He just admitted it this week that he's had this issue since week five against the Giants. But then last night, he took a shot to the ribs. And they don't know if he's broke a rib or not. He may or may not play this week, but you could tell it was really bugging him. They did have a chance to make a run there towards the end, but you could just tell that injury was really starting to kill him. Jordan Love did end up having to come into game. He did end up scoring a touchdown, which was very shocking, but Jordan Love is not a good quarterback. He's a very vanilla quarterback. You can already tell that he's just not good at all. And so I kind of expected a flat line as soon as the Packers went out. But they were able to score 10 points with him out there, so good for him, for them. And then Watson, the receiver, he had yet another solid game, four receptions, 110 yards, and a touchdown. So while the Packers all season have been trying to find a wide receiver, a number one guy, it looks like Watson every game seems to be creeping up as their number one receiver, but looks like the Packers season is just floundering down the drain every single week. And now with this Aaron Rodgers injury, that's just a bigger blow to that team. All right, and then tonight's Monday Night Football matchup is the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now the Colts are a 2.5-point favorite. I kind of expect this to be a pretty ugly game between both these teams. They're not really good. They both have the capabilities to score some points. I mean, defensively, both of them are really good on the defensive side of ball. They both have good ground attacks. It's just outside of that, they just can't really score a lot of points. They're both very vanilla, boring-ass teams. So I wouldn't be shocked if this was a low-scoring game. But I kind of have a feeling this is going to be Kenny Pickett's like coming out game. He's had some pretty solid games for the most part this season, but he hasn't really had like a game where he's just kind of taken over everything, where he's had a couple of touchdowns. I don't even think he's thrown for more than one touchdown in a game this season. So I kind of have a feeling tonight's going to be his night where he just goes off. And the Colts, they just don't look really good. You don't know what you're going to get from, I mean, you really don't know what you're going to get from either team, but I just kind of feel like this is going to be one of those nights where the Steelers just end up getting the win. And of the Steelers getting the win 24 to 14. And then just another NFL note, which I found very interesting, was the most watched regular season game happened this season, and it just happened on Thanksgiving Day. That was the matchup between the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. 42 million people watched that game. 42 million. That is the most watched regular season NFL game of all time. How crazy is that? As I continue to say, people are just consuming the NFL at the highest rates ever. Ratings just keep going through the roof. And I know everybody's pretty much at home on Thanksgiving, so yeah, 42 million, but still, 42 fucking million people watched that game. 42 million people got to watch my Dallas Cowboys kick the shit out of the New York Giants, so that was pretty awesome. All right, so now moving on to the NBA, or my top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. It does not change at the top spot. Unfortunately, it's still the goddamn Boston Celtics. 16-4 on this regular season. They are on a three-game winning streak. They're also 9-1 in their last 10 games, so they just continue to dominate. This past week, they lost to the Chicago Bulls, but then they got on their three-game winning streak against the Mavericks, Sacramento, and Washington. They lead the league in 3 points, 3-point percentage with a 40%. So they are making 40% of their three-pointers right now. And they also lead the league in points per game. Right now, they are averaging 120 points per game. So the Celtics are just they're just blowing people out of the building. I mean, they're just killing it right now. They can't be stopped. Jason Tatum, he's looking like he's like, I want the MVP this year, bitch. Y'all better start talking about me because he's still averaging 30 points a game. And he really is that dude. You don't really hear about anybody else on this team but Jason Tatum. I'm not saying anybody else isn't stepping it up, but Tatum is that dude this year. So Celtics still number one. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Phoenix Suns, overall record of 13-6. They are on a four-game winning streak right now. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Lakers, Detroit, and Utah, and it's really just that big three. They're just very solid. Chris Paul's still healthy. As long as Chris Paul's healthy, this team is playing well. DeAndre Ayton, he's on some. He's been having a career year, which says a lot because he's been playing really well these last couple of years, but it's like he's reaching his apex this year, and he's on fire this year. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Milwaukee Bucks, overall record of 14-5. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games, which is why they've slid a little bit. This past week, they got wins against Portland and Cleveland and lost to the Chicago Bulls. And man, it's just really all about Giannis. Giannis is averaging 30 points per game right now. He's getting all the rebounds. The Bucks still lead the league in rebounding. So they're just really a solid team, and they still haven't got Middleton back yet. So I kind of expect this team to get even better, which says a lot. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, I have the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 12-7, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Detroit Pistons, but got wins against the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Clippers. And it's just all about Nikola Jokic with this team. They are dropping bombs. I mean, they're scoring people out of the building as well, just like the Celtics are. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams, field goal percentage. They are just knocking it down, and it's all about Jokic. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Memphis Grizzlies, overall record of 12-8, 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Sacramento Kings and got wins against New Orleans Pelicans and the New York Knicks. And they're just all about Ja Morant, but also Adams, he's getting rebounds like no other as well. So Morant's getting the points, and Adams is just owning the paint. And really, the Grizzlies are looking like a very solid team, not getting a lot of press as they were last year, the last couple of years, as a matter of fact. But I think that's okay for them, that they're not really the team to look out for. I kind of feel like they like being the silent assassin and then just making their way in the playoffs and just dominating all regular season without anybody really being like knowing what's going on. And number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have definitely improved after their little lull they had there the last couple of weeks. Overall record of 13-7, 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they did get three wins against Atlanta, Portland, and Detroit. So those are some good teams in there, especially Atlanta and Portland. They did lose to Milwaukee, though. Donovan Mitchell, though, he's just making his presence known on this team. He's averaging 30 points per game himself, and he's just obviously the difference maker with this team. Cavaliers looking a lot better this week. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the team that is yet to crack the top 10 this season. That's because they've been struggling, but now they are finally back to championship form. That would be the Golden State Warriors, overall record right now of 11-10. They are on a three-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, though, so they're finally getting back to their old ways. You know, Steph Curry, actually, he's actually second right now in the league points per game. He's averaging 31 points per game. He's actually right behind Luka, of course. So Steph has not had a bad season at all. It's just really the rest of the team around him has not been able to get going. Their defense has been lacking, but now they're finally getting it back going. They did lose to the New Orleans Pelicans, but then they went on their three-game winning streak against the Clippers, Utah, and Minnesota. And they seem to be getting back into form and showing the league that, hey, we may have started the season at the bottom of the barrel, but we're making our way back up to the top. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New Orleans Pelicans, overall record of 11-8. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And, you know, good for them. Zion Williamson, he's been able to pretty much stay healthy the majority of the season. He has missed a couple of games, but overall, he's looked really solid. They got 2 wins this week, 1 against Golden State, 1 against San Antonio, and then a loss to Memphis. But you also got to factor in C.J. McCollum. He's had a really solid season. And Valanciunas, he's also really filling in well with the Pelicans. So with Zion healthy, they're looking pretty solid right now. And they're actually one of the top teams out west right now. So we'll see if the Pelicans are able to continue this throughout the rest of the season. But so far, so good for the Pelicans. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings, another team that is yet to crack my top 10, and one that I'm very surprised that is cracking my top 10, and that is the Indiana Pacers. Right now, they are 11-8 on the regular season, but they are 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they actually have been probably one of the hottest teams in the league the last 2 weeks. This past week, they got wins against Orlando and Brooklyn and lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Lakers. That's shocking. Who the fuck loses to the Lakers? Although the Spurs have lost their last 2 games to the Lakers, and the Spurs are right now on an 8-game losing streak. Looking very bad for them. Not really surprising, though, to me, because they don't really have much going on there. Whereas the Lakers, it's shocking just because they're trash, but they've been able to finally get some wins, but they're still at the bottom of the Western Conference. So they most certainly won't be cracking this top 10 like the Pacers did. But back to the Pacers, a team that's actually doing well at this current point in time. It's really just Tyrese Halliburton and Miles Turner. These two guys are really just getting it going. Halliburton's been scoring the points where Turner's getting the assists and the blocks, and he's just been getting the job done in the paint. So the Pacers looking pretty solid right now. And then rounding out my top 10 NBA power rankings, another team that is yet to crack my top 10 this week or this season is the Philadelphia 76ers, overall record of 11-9. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. It's just been really, it's been a struggle for this team. I don't really know why, because Joel Embiid still having a monster fucking year. Right now, this week, they beat the Brooklyn Nets, Orlando twice, and then they lost to Charlotte. But back to Embiid, he's averaging 32.3 points per game on the season and 10 rebounds as well per game. So he's averaging a double-double per game, and he's really just dominating at every end of the court. He's still continuing his defensive dominance. He's just really the driving force. It's just, for some reason, this team just can't really put it together. You know, James Harden, he's had his injury issues already this season. So it's been kind of a struggle for the 76ers, but they seem to be putting it together now, and they are rounding out the top 10. Then turning over to the college basketball top 10 this week, the coaches' top 10. A few shakeups here because North Carolina lost 2 games in a row, so they tumbled completely out of the top 10. So this week we have a new number 1, and that would be Houston. They are 6-0. But at number 2, y'all, we have my Texas Longhorns. Hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. Our basketball team is killing it right now. We are 5-0, and we are the second-ranked team in college basketball. Loving it. Big test this week on Thursday. We play Creighton, who is actually ranked 7th. You know, on the season. So we've already beat Gonzaga already on the season. So if we beat Creighton and Gonzaga, I don't know, y'all. You might see the Texas Longhorns at number 1 next week if they're able to get this win over Creighton. But they got to get the win first. I'm not trying to get over myself there. But the Longhorns looking damn good in basketball right now. Then at number 3, Virginia, they're 5-0. Number 4, Arizona, they're 6-0. Number 5, Purdue, they're 6-0. Number 6, Baylor, they're 5-1. Number 7, Creighton, they're 6-1. Number 8, UConn, they're 8-0. Nice to see UConn back back in college basketball, playing well again. I mean, it feels like it's been forever since we've seen UConn even be a competitive team, let alone a ranked team, in years. So congrats to them. Then at number 9, Kansas is 6-1. And then rounding out the college basketball top 10 this week, Indiana at 6-0. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.